Welcome Jesus.
Glory to God. Amen. And so we're going to start this, and I'm going to sing it this time. Praise the Lord.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside, and it overlooks night sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. For the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. Everybody that lived around me said, tear that lighthouse down. 'Cause the big ships, they don't sail this way anymore. There's no need of it standing round. But then my mind went back to that stormy night, when just in time I saw
God, if it wasn't for the lighthouse,
yeah,
I'd be lost. That's where I'd be. But thank God, you know, this simple little verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him, not going to perish, but have everlasting life. And thank God, I you know, I've shared this before, but I thank God for my mama. We got a lot of people, you know, thank God for our mamas. She tells me that I was 4 years old, and I was going to Vacation Bible School. I was learning John 3:16, and I was singing that little chorus, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary. From
sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be. Wonderful his love to me.
And I was right in the middle of that week going to Vacation Bible School. And my mama would come up. I had a bedroom upstairs. We had a two-story house. And my mama would come upstairs at night. And she'd say, okay, now it's bedtime, you know. I'd get up there early and look at comic books. I had all kind of, I had Spider-Man, Batman, Superman. You know, I had all those heroes, you know. I shared a bed. It was a bunk bed with my brother. He's 10 years older than I am. He's on the top. I'm on the bottom. And we had bookcase headboards. And boy, I had from front to back, man. I had comic books. And so I go up. I'm laying on my bed, you know, and I can't read. Not old enough yet, but I can sure look at the pictures, you know. Yeah. And I can tell what's going on by the pictures, you know. And so I'm reading these. I like to get up there and just lay on my bed and look at all my comic books. Mama came up, and she said, now, she was one of the teachers at Vacation Bible School. She said, I know what you're learning. I know you're learning, you know, John 3:16, singing that little chorus. She said, now, she didn't ask me if I wanted to accept Jesus. She said this. She said, Paul, she said, now, tonight, I would like you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I wanted to. And so I got out of bed. And she knelt down by the side of the bed, and I knelt down next to her, and she helped me pray a prayer. Hallelujah. And accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, 4 years old. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I missed a lot of opportunities. Bad opportunities. I was in the family of God, you know, and I had this check down on the inside of me now. When things had come by, you know, I'd think, you know, I don't think I need to do that, you know.
Right.
I'd say no to a whole lot of stuff. And so let's sing Standing on the Promises of God. You know, the biggest promise, you know, that we can get is the promise of salvation. That you want a song sheet, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Amen. That's good. I like that. Here, let me turn. Get you started here on the right page. We are on page number 9, and it's the very first song, song number 21, Standing on the Promises of God. Would you like a song sheet too? Okay. All right. Okay. We are going to sing Standing on the Promises of God. Now, I got to check something. I have certain settings here that I like, you know. Standing, huh? I'm trying to do it right. I'm trying. I cannot fall, listening every moment to Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God. Sing it again. Standing.
Savior standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. Isn't that a great place to stand? Just right there on the promises of God. We're going to sing the next song, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Yeah, that's a good prayer. The very next song.
Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me.
Several years ago, it seemed like there was a big push, really, from people outside the church trying to take away the blood songs. You remember that?
Yep.
Trying to, you know, take the blood song. Boy, I'm telling you, where would we be without the blood?
Yep.
I'm telling you, the shedding of blood. Amen. And so this next song, the blood, will never lose its power. Yes. Amen. Song number 23.
The blood the highest mountain, and
blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power.
Man, you're singing it like you believe it.
Hallelujah.
You believe it?
Amen.
Now, if you turn one page, we're going to sing another blood song. There is power in the blood. Wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be free from the burden of sin?
There's power in the blood. Power in the blood.
Would you or evil the victory win?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service to Jesus your King?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you live daily His praises to sing?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. There is power in the blood. Power in the blood allows us to walk in the promises of God. Amen. Come into the family of God through Jesus Christ. Believe, confess, and then start to walk in the other promises of God that are made available to us because we're in the family. Amen. This little chorus, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. It's the very next song. We're on page number 10 now, song number 25.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. One more song we're going to sing. Song number 26. Huh?
That was a new one.
That was a new one? All right. We're getting some new ones today, huh? The Old Rugged Cross.
Yes.
Yeah, song number 26, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far
someday for a crown. I've got a verse here that I want to read to you, and it's out of Isaiah. Isaiah 55 and verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts, now this is God speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. You think now, you know, where God says, my ways are higher than your ways. Well, how am I going to know those? There's a big difference between what I know and what He knows.
Right.
What I think ought to be done, what He thinks ought to be done. How do I find out, you know, what I ought to be doing? Well, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. In other words, He gives us light in our spirit, man.
Yes.
Amen. That's where it is. And so we pray to Him. We look into the Word of God. And we can discover His character. We can discover the promises of God. We can see what it is that He wants us to do.
Yes.
And when He says, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Now you think about this. We need to be thinking on good things.
Yes.
Isn't that right? Amen. Not thinking on bad things, but we need to be thinking on good things. And so this song, let me find it here. Everything good. Amen. That's what we ought to be thinking on.
Everything good, everything right, everything holy, everything right, everything worthy, all that I should. And all is well, 'cause I'm gonna dwell on everything good.
I got a choice. I got a plan. Gonna find the roses under the thorns whenever I can. Looking for joy, looking for love, looking for a little bit of heaven lover shining down from above.
Everything good, everything right, everything holy, everything right, everything worthy, all that I should. And all is well, 'cause I'm gonna dwell on everything good.
Changing the scene,
changing the scene,
changing my ways, trading some gloomy, doomy nights for a few more sunny days. It's all in the heart. It's all in the eye. So here's how I'm looking at life. I made up my mind.
Everything good, everything right, everything holy, everything right, everything worthy, all that I should. Everything good, everything bright, everything holy, everything right, everything worthy, all that I should. And all is well, 'cause I'm gonna dwell on everything good, good, good. Everything good, everything bright, everything holy, everything right, everything worthy, all that I should.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Everything good. We're going to dwell on good things. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Yeah. And so, now here we are, you see. Huh?
Oh, you're good. You're just right there. Okay.
Huh?
It's okay. Now, I'm just going to talk a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, can I talk to you? Is that all right? All right. All right. We're going to do it. And so,
we're looking here at this Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts."
You know, when I was a junior in high school, I remember taking an advanced algebra class.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I started getting in there. I went into that class, and the teacher started handing out the books. And we're all leafing through these algebra books, and I'm thinking, exactly, yeah, what in the world was I thinking? Why am I here? And I'm looking through these, and I'm looking at all these formulas, and trying to figure out, I don't know, up from down, man. I'm just. And you think about this verse now, you know. His ways are higher than our ways, and all that. And I'm thinking, I'm telling you now, this math, boy, it's a whole lot higher than I am. I mean, I'm not there. These math ways are higher than my ways. I can't figure this out. And so we're leaping through the book. I got toward the end of the book, and I found a chapter in the back of the book. And now this chapter, well, I'm telling you now, I can. You know how you lay the book flat on your desk, you know, and you can see it, and everybody else can see it. I mean, if they look, they can see it, you know. And all of a sudden, man, I grabbed the covers of my book, and I kind of raised it up a little bit so that I was the only one that could see the book, because I thought that I had the teacher's book, and I wasn't going to give it away. I'm telling you, I found a chapter in the back of the book, and this chapter had all the answers in the book.
All right.
And I'm thinking, yes! This is my way out, man. I got all the answers right here. I folded up the book a little bit, you know. And I'm looking around, you know, and I'm thinking, man, they must have handed out the wrong book, you know. But I'm keeping it. I'm not telling anybody. I'm going to keep this book. It's got the answers in this book. I thought, my goodness, my prayers have been answered, man. God is good. I got the teacher's book, you know. And so she's talking about, you know, different things that we're going to go through during the year. And then she said this. She said, now, I want everybody to go to the back of your books. And I want to show you the last chapter back here. It has the answers. And I thought, oh my goodness, everybody's got this book. I mean, everybody's got the answers to this book. You know? I said, why in the world would they do that? Why would you put the answers in the book? Why would you do that? And then she said, I want you to know. She said, I'm on your side. I'm not the enemy. I'm on your side. She said, I want you to know how this works. I want you to get it. Now she said, I want you to know that the answers are in the back of the book, because when I give you assignments and you take this book home and you work your assignments, when you get done doing the formulas, I want you to know how the formulas work. When you get done doing those formulas, then you come up with an answer. I want you to go to the back of the book and make sure that your answer is correct. If it's not correct, then go back into the formula and figure out what you did wrong. Figure out how to do that formula correctly to get the right answer.
Right.
See? And I thought, man, this is really helpful. I mean, we're not just out here on our own, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we got something here we can work with, you know.
Right.
And she said, now that's the upside. She said, on your daily assignments, when you go home, you got all the answers there. Now, she said, when it comes test time, none of the questions on the test are going to be out of the book. So, you really need to know how to do the formulas. But if you know how to do the formula, then it doesn't matter what question I give you. If you know how to do the formula,
right,
you'll come up with the right answer.
Right.
And so she said, now this is it, you see. During our daily assignments, and if you have any questions, when you come back the next day, and boy, no matter how many times you tried, and you just couldn't come up with that right answer, she said, we'll help you with it right here in class. We want to get this right. So that when it comes test time, everybody in the class gets 100%. That's what I want. See, and I thought, man, if you're gonna take advanced math, boy, this is the class to come to. I mean, they want you to know, you know. And I thought about this now. See, their ways were higher than my ways, but they wanted me to know what those ways were. And they were doing everything possible to teach me the higher ways of math. Now, when we come into the family of God, God has given us a textbook. And in the textbook, there are promises in the Word of God. And then there is also in the Word of God, all throughout the Bible, it gives us the character of God so that we can understand His character, His love, His caring for us, His willingness to send His Son Jesus so that we might have life. And not only life, but the Bible says to have it more abundantly. And you think, man, that's just a higher life than I understand. That's why we have the Bible.
Right.
To learn what that higher life is. See? And so now, that reminded me, you see, of this math book. I said, man, I'm telling you, that is good. Now, it doesn't just automatically happen. You've got to spend time in the book.
Right.
See?
Right.
You got to spend time in the Bible. I know I had a certain attitude, let's put it that way. My attitude was, if I don't think that I need to know something, then I'm not going to learn it. And that wasn't good when it came to school. And I'd come into some kind of, especially English. I'd come into English, you know, or trying to, what did they call that, where you dissect and diagram sentences and everything. And my attitude, what do I need to know that for? Why do I need to know? Yeah, anything, you know. Why do I need to know that? Well, now, if I had that attitude, see, then I just wouldn't learn anything. I just didn't care. And so when I got my diploma out of high school, I'm telling you, there was a dance, man. There was a party. I'm telling you, I just squeaked by, man. I'm thinking, oh, they gave me a diploma. And I think that's what they did, too. They just said, you know what, we don't want you here another year. Just go ahead and take it. Just go ahead and take it. Just get out of here, you know. And so I wasn't a very good student, you know. Well, now, you know, thinking about stuff like that, well, then, when you get out of high school, well, then I went to an area school, but I was taking some classes that I was really interested in, and so I did well, see? And then, you know, like 40 years go by, and then God tells me to go back to school. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I wasn't good at school when I was younger. What am I going to do now? You know? But it ended up being something that I was very interested in. It was Bible school.
Wow.
And so I did very well in Bible school. And then I decided I wanted to go on. And so, you know how colleges are nowadays, is you can take classes online. You know, you can get degrees online. And so with my schedule and everything, I thought, well, maybe I can do this online, you know. And so after going to Bible school, well, then I was able to get a bachelor's degree. And that went on. And then I was able to get a master's degree. And then I thought, well, I'm just going to go on. And, you know, and so then I got a PhD, you know, whatever that means. I mean, I was just glad to get it, you know. And so, but the thing is, that's higher learning.
Really?
It requires getting in a book. See? So now God said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than yours, or your thoughts are not as high as mine are, you know. But now, how we bridge that gap is we get in the book.
Right.
We begin to learn some things about God, what He wants for us. I know. One time,
I want to know that
when I was, yeah, it's in the book. It's in the book.
I want to know that.
Yeah. And I remember when I was, I don't know, might have been junior high. And I've got a brother and sister. My brother is 10 years older than I am. My sister is 7. I mean 7 years older than I am, not 7, you know. And so they were both out of the house. And so vacation time, it was just mom and dad and me. And so I had the back seat all to myself, man. It was nice, you know. And so I remember, though, one day in particular, we were driving, I don't know, from, you know, one place to another, and there was a really bad storm. Rainy, dark, thunder, lightning. I mean, just pouring down rain, couldn't see anything. And I wondered how come Dad didn't pull over. How in the world can you see? You know?
Right.
Well, now he told me later on, he said, I'll tell you a trick. He said, this is something good to know. He said, now when you're in a really bad storm like this, if you can get yourself behind a semi, and you can see, you get close enough, now everybody's going to be a little bit slower because of the rain. But now you get behind the semi and you see the semi's lights.
Right.
Well, now you just follow those lights. You might not be able to see the road. You might, a lot of things you might not be able to see. But now there's protection.
But semis
right behind.
Slower.
Huh?
Semis have to go slower than the other cars.
Yeah, I don't really know, but if you just hang on, just right behind that semi. Well, now you see, I thought about that. I'm thinking now, boy, there's some wisdom, isn't there? Just get right behind, follow somebody. Well, now, doesn't the Bible say, let's look at this one verse again that I read, Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So now the Lord gives us light, spiritual light. And we can get behind the Lord, we can get behind His Word, and we can follow that light. Sometimes we have storms in our lives. Sometimes we don't know what to do next. We don't know where to go. But we can follow the light of God. We can follow that. We can get in the Word of God. We can follow the promises of God. And we can follow that light. And so my dad said, you know what? When there's a really bad storm, get yourself behind a semi and just follow the light. Boy, I'm telling you. I still think about that today. My Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about how He takes care of the birds. He feeds the birds. And then He talks about the flowers and how they're so beautiful and all of that. I remember one day, here living in Broken Arrow at the time. It might have been, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, maybe a little more. And I was eating breakfast, and I'm reading this chapter, Matthew chapter 6. And I got to that part where the Bible says that God takes care of the birds, feeds the birds. And I had this question come up on the inside. How does he do that? I thought, I'm not really sure. And so now I had this impression that I was eating. Now, Neil, you might think this is kind of funny. One of my favorite breakfasts is a bowl of Cheerios. I'm honest, that's just a bowl of Cheerios. Now here I was, you see. I had my bowl of Cheerios. What's that?
I'll be back.
Okay. I understand. Just do whatever you need to do. Come back. So I had this impression, get my bowl of Cheerios, go out. We had a sunroom at the back of the house. Go to that sunroom and watch the birds. See how I feed them. And so I did. I grabbed my bowl of Cheerios and I went out into the sunroom. And I'm sitting out there, and I can see birds out there in the trees, you know. And I'm just, you know, talking to myself, talking to God, and saying, God, how do you feed the birds? And all of a sudden, you know, I'd see a bird hop down off a branch, go down on the ground, peck around a little bit, find something, go on back up in the branch and eat it. And they'd be sitting there for a little while. Maybe that bird would sit there and another bird come down, you know, peck around on the ground a little bit, go back up in the branch and eat it. And I heard God just say this. Now, I didn't really hear an audible voice, but just down on the inside, had this question. Do you ever see a nervous bird? I thought, no, I can't say I've ever seen a nervous bird. They're just up in the trees and they come down, you know, flutter around a little bit, go back up. He said, you ever think that those birds have the idea that there is no food? No. They just hop down off the branch and they just peck around. They know the food's there somewhere. They just got to peck around until they find it. They get a piece and then they go back up. I said, yeah, that's right. He said, that's how I feed them. Everything they need is right there in the ground. Water, bugs, everything they need. Now, they're not going to find it up in the branch. They got to hop off the branch, come down on the ground, peck around a little bit. It's there. But they got to make an effort. They got to get down. They got to peck around a little bit. Find something. Now they can either eat it there. They can go up the branch and eat it. Whatever they want to do. But they got to find it. But it's there. I have provided food for them. Now it's the same with us when it comes to the Word of God. Everything that we need is in the Word. But we got to open it up. We got to read it. We got to spend time in prayer. That's how He feeds us spiritually. Never think that whatever you need is not there. Always realize that everything that you need, it is there. Everything that we need is here. Everything. More than enough. But that doesn't mean that it's just going to fall on us without ever thinking about it. What that means is, and you look at this all throughout the Bible, God will provide, but then it's up to the person to make an effort. You remember when God told the children of Israel, I give you the promised land. And then He said this, go and possess it. And when they got to the promised land the first time, they saw the giants.
And they saw, you know, they saw obstacles, and they said, we can't do it. Even though God said, I've given you the land. They thought they couldn't take it. Now, they discovered later on that the first time they came to the promised land, those giants had heard about their God, how they had taken them through, the splitting of the Red Sea, how God fed them in the wilderness. I'm sure that they probably had sent out spies, and they probably saw how they were being led by fire by night, cloud by day, how supernatural it was. And they were actually, the giants were big, yes, but the giants were afraid of the children of Israel. See, they could have taken it. They could have taken it. But they saw that the giants were so big, just physically, that they made the decision they couldn't do it, even though God said, I have given it to you. And so we're just talking about being followed, you know, following God, being led by Him, and knowing that everything that you need is available to you, but you've got to pursue it. You've got to open the book. You've got to find it. And so just remember the birds, you know. You must believe that your supply is always available. Psalms 103, 3 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Boy, I'm telling you, isn't that good news? Everything that we need is available to us. And I would like to close the same way that we started. Now, this first song, back one page, page number 9, Standing on the Promises of God. I'd like us to close by singing that song again. Standing on the Promises of God, song number 21, and it's the first song on page 9. Praise the Lord. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God. Sing it again. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. Standing on those promises. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. So thankful that your word tells us that you love us. You care for us. You want the very best for us. We're so grateful that you were willing to send your Son, that we might believe in him, accept him as our Lord and Savior, and come into the family of God. Father, we thank you that we can stand on the promises of God, knowing that you are faithful to your word. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.